on. All right. Well, I'd say we got a lot to cover, but that's an understatement. There's always a lot to cover. Let me see if I can tap in. I got a little something I want to show y'all here. Let me get to it. All right.
Every y'all can see what I'm looking at.
Y'all can follow along real easy, and I ain't trying to pull the wool over y'all on nobody's eyes tonight.
I'll tell you, this is a great little topic right here. I kind of went through these past week or so, a couple of weeks, and I think y'all really gonna really enjoy it. It's just something when you spend a little time and you kind of just want to dive into it. You know, we're to the point that, I mean, I don't want to miss nothing. I want to just scrutinize everything. And he said, well, is it really that serious?
Yes.
His word is serious. Because when all else fails in the world, and the worst possible thing that you can think of, when everything's failing all around you, and even like Yoel, we heard last week, why don't you curse Elohim and die? He said, you speak as one of the foolish women that speak. So when all else fails, and we know that his word never fails. So that's why I really try to spend my time diving in there, looking at everything, every fine little detail, because I don't have time to miss anything when it comes to him. I missed a lot over the years, so it's no time for that. So we're still in Shemot, and it's still Hebrew for name. And the scripture tells us that Yosef and all his brothers have died, but the house of Israel lives on. And you know that name, the house of Israel lives on. Even all through scripture, we see that Yaakov's seed, the house of Israel, we see all these things pop up and laid on in scripture. And matter of fact, even our master said, I come only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I mean, there's a bunch of lost sheep out there. And you, Pharaoh, has risen and does not know yourself. He, Pharaoh, speaks to his people about enslaving the children of Israel because he is in fear of them. So let me just pull our text here from verse 9. And he said to his people, see, the people of the children of Israel are more and stronger or mightier than we. But depending on the translation, King James uses the word mightier. And we're going to look at that. It says, come, let us act wisely toward them, lest they increase. And it shall be when fighting befalls us that they shall join our enemies and fight against us, and they shall go up out of the land. So they're in fear of the children of Israel. Like these guys here, they're working, dealing with outside stuff. They're working, they're fit. These men are really being put to the test because they're working hard. And so, isn't that like jobs today? I mean, my job is laid back compared to what these guys were doing. I took a nap today. Oh, I don't know if I was supposed to say that. My brother's back there listening. But what do you want me to do? When you're waiting on it, I know. So, but these guys, let me tell you something. They're multiplying on top of that. So these guys, the Mishraim, they're afraid of Israel. Kind of like that ant in the cartoon. Anyway, this word stronger is the word atsum. Almost sounds like assume. Tonight we're not here to assume nothing. That's what we're here to dive in. And I said to myself, self, take your time. Go slow. Don't perspire too much. But this is the great stuff. So it's not, I can't help because you get excited every time I read it. And I even told Brother Rob today, I said, I wasn't going to add nothing. But here you go. Thing I had to add this little piece because I missed it. Anyway, y'all, he does that to you. It's the passive participle of age 6105, powerful, specifically a paw. Notice how I highlighted that. By implication, numerous, feeble, great, mighty, must, strong. He said, why is mighty and strength have to do with a paw? Just think about it. Think about your adversary. Let me read it to you. In Genesis 4:7, it says, it is not good for you. Is it not if you do good? If it is not, you do good. You're able to be accepted. And if you do not do good, toward the door is a sin. He is lying, and towards you is his desires. And you must rule over him. Notice the he, his, and him. Notice what we're talking about, this Paul. And also in 1 Peter, now we're talking to Cain right here. You remember Cain? He's got issues. And Yah is warning him. If you don't do right, you're going to be accepted. But if not, the sin is lying at the door for it. It's waiting to grab a hold of you. Now, I'm going to explain this part in just a second. In 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be sober. And it says, then watch. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion. Seeking someone to devour. Let me tell you something about lions. I got to watch it this week. Watch a few clips on these lions. And sometimes it gets a little gruesome. But let me tell you what sin does to you. We think we in fear of the bite, you know, of a lion or a wild cat. These things, we think everything will bite. We got big teeth because they focus on all these things. But you know what the power is? It's in the paw. Because when these animals are running, and when they're running for their lives, like sin does, when you run for our lives, when it snatches you with the paw, that's where the strength is at. It drags them wildebeest down. It drags down giraffes, especially in the pack. Yeah, so we have to be careful. That's why he's talking about the strength being the mighty being in the paw. Because it's not the paw that kills you, but the paw you can't break free from. And this is what happened to children of Israel. The paw had them. They were stuck in Mitzrayim. And what was coming next was the bite. So we know, he said, they talked to their people. And once the bite got on, they needed a savior, just like we did today. Amen. That's why it represents the paw. Think about it. Think about them claws, them canines, the claws, them 3-inch claws that they in the skin. You can't break free. Man, some of them, they just put one paw and they drag the animal down because that's where the strength is at. So we're going to look at that a little bit further down here. I said be calm, but you just can't help it. Well, I was like, I had to pause for a minute when I got how the power is in the paw. That's what it points to. And our adversary, what it says. It's mighty, it's vast, and the Brown Driver's Brig definition. And it goes down to abundant bone and abundance. Now, I showed you this a while back. The numerous bones of the body are the strength of the body. I mean, Casey even drew a pretty little picture. I thought that was very good that she drew that. How our frame, we're built in his frame, his DNA, but strength. So we're gonna look at down, just hold tight, don't rush me. We're gonna look at this numerous bones of the body. Talk about abundant and abundance. You know, that's a lot to learn in here. So the first time we see the word bone is in Bereshit in Genesis 2:21. And Yehovah caused a deep sleep to fall on the man, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Surgically went in there and pulled out a rib. And the rib which Jehovah Elohim had taken from the man, he made a woman. And he brought her to the man, and the man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one is called woman because she was taken out of man. Very important verse of scripture. Why? Because she is your helpmate. She's strength to you. He's not against you, though it might seem that way sometimes, but she's your helpmate, she's your strength on whatever side she sits on, the right side or the left side, doesn't matter. I don't know what side the rib, you know, Yehovah took the rib from, but does it matter? Because that's your strength, your inner strength, I like to call it, because they say things and do things that, you know, we can't do. So we need our rib. Appreciate our rib. And that's the first time we see the word bone. Bone in the Hebrew is esem. Esem is a bone as strong by extension the body, figuratively the substance. That is pronoun self-same. This is very important. Body, bone, and the rest of the definition. He said, what is self-same? How is self-same fits into bone? This is a little stuff I like to dig into. It's kind of like my son, he's into Legos. And if you had any Legos now, they ain't like Legos when we play. Now that stuff is really high dollar stuff. And all these people, you got to craft and take their time and piece that together. That's kind of reminding me of the Legos right here, this self-same. Why is it self-same? What's it got to do with bone?
I'm glad you asked that question. It's the Brown Driver's Brig, bone, essence, substance, body, limbs, members. And here we all have bone. And it's still growing, it's abundant. And talks about the numerous bones of the body. Self-same, there it is again. And I promise you we're going to get to it.
What is the leading cause of bone deficiency?
It's a question I put down.
Well, there is no single cause of bone deficiency. Low bone density or osteoporosis. This is what I added this morning. It's a sign of disease characterized by low bone mass and structural deterioration. It makes bone thin and brittle, significantly increasing the risk of fractures, even from minor falls, bending, or coughing. It is most common in older adults, specifically post-menstrual women.
I hope I said that right. Menstrual women.
But I just want to talk about, because wow, we all got bone. Some people, and I'm going to show you some good definition, some strong bone. These men back here, they were strong-boned men. And the Bible talks about some, I'm going to pull up some guys here in just a moment. Instead, it is typically driven by a combination of hormonal changes, especially estrogen deficiency, and the normal process of aging. Other major risk factors include a lack of calcium and vitamin D and genetics. Bone deficiency develops when your body fails to create enough new bone, breaks down too much old bone, or both. The primary factors that lead to this imbalance can be broken down in a few key areas. Man, we're talking about strong bones, strong men, and what we're talking about breaking down, this is what happens. This is what happens when, you're going to see, I got the next question there in a little bit, but when you don't have the right nutrients in our body, when we're not taking in the proper vitamins that we need for our bones, and you thought Joe was coming to teaching class, but he's more like, I feel like doctor class almost. But this is what's in the scripture. This is what you, when you start digging, you find this stuff. So it points you in all these directions. The stuff I want to just break out, but if it wasn't important, I would think God wouldn't put it in there. But he wants us to know some things about our body, even though we're created in his likeness and in his image. He wants us to know, because we got it. Here, nobody takes care of you better than you. Unless the bone that you're tattooed on the side of you, because she knows you better than you, some of us anyway. So let's look at some of these deficiencies. We're talking about strength, now we're talking about deficiencies? Well, of course, because we're all aging here. Let's not kid ourselves. Hormonal deficiency, it says a drop in estrogen levels, mostly commonly following menopause, is the most significant factor in rapid bone loss for women. Estrogen is vital for building and maintaining bone loss. Let's see. Men, testosterone, oh boy. Men require testosterone for bone strength. Lower of this hormone can lead to increased bone frailty over time. So yeah, I told Brother Rob, I said, you're going to like this subject. And I really enjoy going over all this. Aging. Nobody here is aging, maybe just me. As you grow, bone renewal slows down, while peak bone mass is reached in a person's 20s or 30s. Aging combined with decreased calcium absorption in the gut gradually causes bone to become thinner and more fragile. And we're talking about strong men here, who Israel, who Mishraim isn't afraid of, but we got all this deficiency. That goes to show how sin over time, that's what it does. Because in the beginning, it wasn't like, you didn't read all this in the beginning. Nutrient deficiencies, calcium and vitamin D. A long life lack of calcium plays a major role in bone deficiency. Vitamin D is essential because it helps your body absorb calcium. Eating disorders. Severely restricted food intake and being underweight, such as an anorexia nervosa, reduces the nutrient available to form bone. So it's not only to us heavier people, you skinny people too out there. This is for you. Because you're skinny, don't make you eat the healthiest person. Amen. How the man say, am I right? Underlying medical condition. Yeah, this is so good. You're going to love this. Certain health problems make it harder to absorb nutrients or interfere directly with bone cell activity. Gastrointestinal, I wish my wife was here, conditions like celiac or Crohn's disease. That's what happens. When you get age, things happen in our life. That's why we need him. We need a savior. Yeah. Go to the show, because without him, he said, but I remove all these diseases from you. I'll take away all, that's what he died for. Overactive thyroid, or this goes with the gastrointestinal, A, B, and C, D, overactive thyroid, or thyroid gland. Y'all can help me out on this if y'all see it. Chronic kidney or liver disease, rheumatoid arthritis. Number five, lifestyle factors, daily habits. We learned something last week about a habit. Can either protect your skeleton or accelerate bone density loss. Lack of exercise, lifestyle or prolonged bed rest increases the risk of weak bone. So if you like to sleep a lot and don't want to get out of bed and not go exercise, you can be, this stuff starts to affect you when you get up in the age in that area a little bit. Just saying. Smoking and alcohol. Okay. Skip. No, we're going to read it. Tobacco, because why? I was there. Tobacco use weakens bone. Tobacco use weakens bone. And excessive alcohol consumption limits bone formation. That's a true statement. Medications. Long-term use of certain prescription drugs, especially like the can inhibit bone growth. Y'all can see that? Let me see if I can open it up for y'all. I'm trying, sister.
It's the color.
Yeah.
It makes
us
hard for us to see.
Don't do nothing crazy.
Especially, I'll let you try to read it.
I don't even know.
I know, that's what I'm saying, but it's the stuff that you dig and you just have to see it for yourself. If anyway, I'll share it with y'all later if y'all want to know, but this, it's in there. This is medical. Right, it ain't good for you. And I'm going to show you what some things will happen in your bone though. Just give me time. Another time we see in Bereshit, age 6106, is the word self-same. I thought this was nice. We got to go to in Genesis 7:13. And the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. The first time we see it. And on that self-same day, Noah, Shem, and Ham, and Japheth, the sons of Noah and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them went into the ark. Self-same day. Translate literally to, in the bone of this day. This idiom emphasizes the exactness, suddenness, and precision of a specific point in time. Unless I look into the Hebrew, I couldn't even tell you nothing about that. I even asked ChatGPT a few days ago. He told me about it, but I couldn't remember what he said. So I had to go back and use the Hebrew linguistics and see what does the self-same have to do with bone. He's just talking about that point, did it, because it's strong that day. He drove it so hard that day. This was a salvation day. At a specific point in time. So, I'm so glad we're learning. Because if you knew this, please, I wish somebody would have told me, because I didn't know this. So it goes to show how much we need the word. We need to just scrutinize so we can learn something. This was so beautiful about his word. Another time in chapter 50, and Yosef said to his brothers, I am dying. He said, but Elohim shall certainly visit you. and bring you up out of this land to the land of which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph made the children of Israel swear, saying, Elohim shall certainly visit you, and you shall bring up my bones from here. So we see that bone plays a part in the scriptures. We're going to dive into it. I just got to get all this other stuff out of here. So here's a note. So just from one English word, stronger or mightier, shows us how not so mighty we are physically. But in his spirit, we are more than conquerors. Amen. Well, that's how much we need him. Because all these things we just read, all these deficiencies, we're talking about strength and all, how fit they were, but yet we got all these deficiencies. Why? That's the question. In Romans 8:31, it says, what then shall we say? What then shall we say to this? If Elohim is for us, who is against us? Truly, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up on the behalf of us all, how shall he not, along with him, freely give us all else? Who shall bring any charge against Elohim's chosen one? Is it Elohim who is declaring right? It is Elohim who is declaring right. Who is he who is condemning? It is Messiah who died, and furthermore is also raised up, who is also at the right hand of Elohim, who makes intercessions for us. What shall separate us from the love of Messiah? Shall pressure, or distress, or persecution, or scarcity of food, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? These are great questions. As it has been written, for your sake, we are killed all day long, and we are reckoned as sheep for slaughter. And it's been written back in Psalms 44:22, but for your sakes, we are killed all day long, reckoned as sheep for the slaughter. But in all this, key verse, we are more than overcomers through him who loved us. This overcomer is Hooper Nakayo. It's G5245, and it comes from these other two root words, 5228 and 3528. To vanquish beyond, that is, gain a decisive victory, more than a conqueror. And the Brown driver's big, I like this. To be more than a conqueror, to gain a surpassing victory, meaning achieving an overwhelming, decisive triumph that goes far beyond simply surviving or barely winning. It implies that the victory is so complete that adversaries and or hardship are not just defeated, but they are actually transformed into benefits. Hallelujah. This is where Yah is going to take care of the children of Israel. Even though they look oppressed, the paw is on them, the bite comes. But you know, the deliverer is coming. This 5228 was Hooper. Hooper is in the behalf of, or the sake of. Over, beyond, more beyond. And Nakayo is to conquer, or to carry off the victory. Come off victorious of Messiah, victorious over his foes, of Christians that hold fast their faith even unto death against the powers of their foes and temptations and persecution. When one is arranged or goes to law to win the case, maintain one's course. Beautiful definition right here in the Greek. I like that. Continuing in verse 38, if I'm persuaded, Shaul said, I'm persuaded, no matter what goes on in life, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor messenger, nor principalities, nor powers, neither the present nor the future, nor height nor depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Elohim, which is in Messiah Yeshua, our Master. In Revelations 2:10, and I heard a loud voice in the heavens, now have come the deliverance and the power of the reign of our Elohim and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers who accused them before our Elohim day and night has been thrown down. And they overcame him, who? That Paul. Because of the blood of the Lamb. That's your weapons right here. And because of the word of their witness. Two things that we need. That he paid for. That we just got to learn to walk in. And this is why we learn these things tonight. I went over this so many times. And they did not love their lives to the death. When we get to that part of all this teaching that we get, when we get to this part right here, when we love our lives unto death, we're going to say we arrive pretty much, pretty close. Because then anything else better than that is for him to return. But everything that's why he's first in everything. That's why no matter what, that's what Shaul was saying, no matter what goes on in life, he's first. We got to put him first in everything. Above our wives, above our children, above our finances, he tops all. Had a little funny came out. I think I shared it with my brother. He said, boy, if Shaul was here today, he'd probably look at you, pop, 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 and give you a few little things like that if he was here today. Some of these churches, things that go on today. Oh, man. What is spiritual bone deficiency? Great question. There's nothing in Scripture about this specific thing. But it shows us what we look like when we as followers are supposed to be of the Master, do not take in proper nutrients. And this was almost kind of leaked out last week, and they mentioned this passage of Scripture. But we'll look at a little something here. In Ezekiel 37, and this is one common, but let's look at it. And the hand of Yehovah was upon me and took me out by the Spirit of Yehovah and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was filled with bones. And he made me pass among them all around, and see, they were very many on the surface of the valley, and see, they were very dry. You know, in the spiritual sense, there's a lot of dry bones today. In the spiritual sense, that's why it's up to people like you and I. We come here to be fed to why, so we can go out and share the fruit, because it don't belong to us. But we have to learn. We have to practice everything that we practice what we preach, so to bring it out there. Because we're fixing to take a major vacation. It's a work vacation, but I can't wait to enjoy it. And look, that, like there's dry bones down here, that's dry bones up there. Verse 3, he said to me, son of man, will these bones live? And I said, O Master Yehovah, you know. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones, and you shall say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of Yehovah. If you're feeling dry tonight, that's why you're here. You come here to hear the word. Now this is really dry stuff, but sometimes after a work week, we tend to get a little dry. We get a little slack. We get a little whatever. You do. And don't say it don't happen, then you're lying to yourself. It does happen. We're human. At least I like to think we are. Hear the word of Yehovah. Thus says the Master Yehovah to these bones. See, I am bringing you into you a spirit, and you shall live. Hallelujah. And I shall put sinews on you, and bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put a spirit on you, spirit in you, and you shall live. And you know, every time his spirit's in you, and you know it's live. It's alive. His spirit, we're going to see what happens when the spirit gets into him. And you shall know that I am Yehovah. Trust me, when he comes upon you, you know he that's him. What happened when the spirit of Yehovah would come upon Samson? He was doing great and mighty things. You talk about strength and might came upon Samson. When you carry gates up the hill, you're doing something. It ain't by your power. In verse 7, it said, and I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And there was a rattling. Can you imagine? And the bones came together, bone to bone. Can you imagine the noise, the rattling? I didn't have nothing to bring. I didn't think about it. But I think about two deers. You hear that? Because people do that when they're... You know, you heard the sound? Bone cracking on bone. You probably could hear the sound when I think Brother Chad, when we talked about Brother Shadrach with Daniel, when his knees were knocking together. Boy, I'm telling you, probably, I guarantee you, what you should have done, you probably hear them bones knocking. It does talk about that. That's further down, but I didn't put it in there. This rattling is ra'ash. It's vibration, bounding, uproar, commotion, confused noise, earthquake, fierceness, quaking. Can you imagine what was happening in the desert, where the spot was, where he's seeing all this rattling, shaking? Now look in Venezuela, just over the past few days ago, look in Venezuela. The heart goes out to them people, the children that go on. There was no bone to bone, but that was a shaking, there was a noise, there was an earthquake. That's just think about that when you read something like this. These people over there, I tell you, they need help. And only help you know, our prayers to them that goes out to them. But let me tell you, this noise, this vibration of what was happening, could have been a sight to see. And just imagine when he returns. The noise and the commotion and the earthquake and all that's going to go on. When he returns, bones are going to be knocking. I wish I could break this out more, but you got to just look at it in the Hebrew and visualize it. What's happening, what Ezekiel is seeing right here. This quaking, this rattling, this shaking, earthquake, violently trembling, bone coming to bone. Only Yah can do that. Shaking, quivering of a dart. I was like, how's quivering of a dart? So I had to pull that up. What is quivering dart? When he throw that, and it make that sound when it hit the dartboard. Because you know us men, when we want to throw a dart, we humming it. So that's what that falls into. It's just a little thing like that kind of catches your attention. Like, well, what dark at him? Well, there you go. Quake, quake, quake. Rushing, shake, fierceness, noise. He said, and I looked, verse 8, and I looked and saw sinews and flesh coming upon them, covering the bone, and skin covered them. But there was no spirit in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the spirit. Prophesy, son of man, and you shall say to the spirit, thus says Jehovah, come from the four winds. We heard four winds last week. These same four winds here are blowing. Come from the four winds, O Spirit, and breathe on these killed ones so that they live. And as I prophesied, as he commanded me, and the Spirit came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, a very great army. And he said to me, son of man, these are the bones of the house of Israel. Didn't I tell you that the house of Israel lives on? See, they say, our bones are dry, our expectancy has perished, and we ourselves have been cut off. This is what happens. When we feel like we can deviate and get away from His word, this spiritual deficiency gets into your bone. You know, it's bad when it gets in your bone. Therefore, thus say, I highlight this part because this was so beautiful. He says, therefore prophesy, and you shall say to them, thus says the Master Jehovah, see, O my people, I am opening your burial sites, and shall bring you up from your burial site, and shall bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am Jehovah when I open your burial sites, my people, and bring you up from your burial site. Now, today I really want to go over, because mentioned burial site four times. And I was like, don't do it. But I will go back and check it out for my own little personal, you know, for me. And I shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall settle you in your own land, and you shall know that I, Jehovah, have spoken, and I have done it, declares Jehovah. You can rely on His word. He said, you've done it. And if it tarries, what am I saying? He says, wait for it. That's all we have to do. But we get a little patient in time. Our bones get to want to move ahead of Him. 10 times in Yehezkel, in Ezekiel, the word bones and bones are mentioned. Do you think that's by chance? That's an accident? In the Hebrew alphabet, 10 represent the yod. Work, hand, activity, and deed. Remember, we're talking about the hand. Now we're still on these bones. The yod is mentioned, because where that's mentioned by the bone, 1,612 times. You think he was trying to get us our attention? So we got a lot of verses to read tonight. So I hope y'all ate a good snack. I ain't getting no amen out of that one. It's the dollar and the yod. The picture yod is a picture of a hand, and dollar is a picture of a door that allows movement and in and out of the tent. Combine these means hand moves. His hand never stops. His hand is always constantly moving. The hand is the part of the body that enables man to perform many works. Now we're getting somewhere. With the hand, one can throw away or grab hold, kill or heal, make or destroy. See, the power's in the hand, like it's in the paw. You know, it's in the mouth too, because the mouth, remember, our tongue, it kills too. But so does the hand. Hand is first mentioned in Bereshit. Okay, we got to look at these first mentions. And Yehovah Elohim said, see, the man has become like one of us, to know good and evil. And now, least he put forth his hand, he would have killed us all right there. If man would have put forth his hand, but we were spared because mercy right here. And take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Because we would have been doomed in that condition. So the mercy hand of Yah stepped in before man really made a mess of it. You can see how much of a mess it is now. So Yehovah's got to send his son to come clean it all up. And he's going to need our help. So our hands, get ready, prepare. So bones strong and mighty. So let's look at some strong bones, the mighty bones. In Deuteronomy 34:7, and Moshe was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his freshness gone. You know why? Strong bone. Yah preserved him to do a job. In Joshua 13:1, also in 24:29, and Yehoshua was old, advanced in years, and Yehovah said to him, you are old, advanced in years, and still much of the land remains to be possessed. I ain't done with you yet. That's what Yah is telling him. And after these events, it came to be that Yehoshua, son of Nun, the servant of Yehovah, died 110 years old. Now we see that parallel, because who died at a death age? Yosef. That's a parallel. But why? Strong bone. Yah preserved these guys. Just like some of you here, we might not see 110, but look, some of y'all in your 80s, some of y'all knocking on 80s, and then the numbers come down a little bit, but look, you know why? Strong bones. Y'all not done with you yet. There's still more land to conquer. I love that verse of scripture. And look, we're doing it. We're on the right track. We got to let him lead. And Joshua 14:7, this is Caleb. I was 40 years old when Moshe, the servant of Yehovah, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. But my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I followed Yehovah, my Elohim, completely. So Moshe swore on that day, saying, the land on which your foot has trodden is your inheritance, and your children's forever, because you have followed Yehovah, my Elohim, completely. We got to follow him completely. And now, see, Yehovah has kept me alive. And he said, these 45 years since Yehovah spoke this word to Moshe while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now, see, I'm 85 years old today, yet I'm still as strong today. I wonder why. As I was on the day that Moshe sent me. And my strength was then, so now, so my strength is now for battle. Whoa! 85 years old and ready for battle. Just going to show you. And from going out and from coming in. And now, give me this mountain of which you have spoken that day. For you heard it, you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and walled. If Yehovah is with me, and I shall dispossess them, as Yehovah said. Amen. What strong words from Caleb. 40 years old, was promised something. Now he's 85, he's ready for battle. Ready 45 years. I wonder why. Strong bone. Here's one we just finished with. I put him at the bottom. He probably should have been first, but my bad. In Genesis 25:7, these are the years of Abraham's life, which he lived, 175 years. And Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age. aged and satisfied, and was gathered to his people. You know why?
Strong bone.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'm just testing y'all, seeing where y'all at, if y'all listening.
What about our master? Now, all these guys that could do a great guy, but what about our master? You think he had strong bone? The shin. In Psalms 34:20, shin, he is guarding all his bone. Not one of them is broken. I've had a broken bone before. I cried like a baby too. Let me tell you. I remember just like it was yesterday too. Oh boy. And if you never had one, it ain't fun. In John 19:35, and he who has seen has witness, and his witness is true. And he knows that he is speaking the truth in order that you might believe. For this took place in order for the scripture to be filled, not one of his bones shall be broken. And again, another scripture said, they shall look on him whom they pierced. And I shall pour on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of favor and prayers, and they shall look on me whom they pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son. And they shall be bitter over him as bitterness over the firstborn. Let me tell you something. There's going to be a happy time, and there's going to be some sad times. Let's go even a little further back. In Shemot 12:46, it is eaten in one house. You are not to take any of the flesh outside the house, nor are you to break any bone of it.
Though we had 1,600 verses to read.
In Numbers 9:12, they do not leave it until the morning, and they do not break a bone of it. According to the law of the Pesach, they perform it. So are we to break the bone?
No. All right, let's see.
In the human body, our hands have the most bones in them. And the strongest bone in the body is the femur. 27 bones are in the human hand. In the carpal, the wrist, 8 small bones that form the base of the hand, arranged in 2 rows of 4. So you have your little bone structure here. Let me
educate some of y'all here a little bit.
The metacarpals, the palm, 5 long bones in the middle of the hand that connect the wrist to the fingers. And your fingers, your thumb, 14 bones that make up the digits. Each of the 4 fingers has 3 fingers, while the thumb has 2. Together, both hands account for more than a quarter of all the bones in the human body. 54 bones between your 2 hands. And see, that's why he talks about strength in the paw and the hands. You see, some people have a very strong grip. But I'm probably maybe average. I don't know. But some people have really hard hands. My grandpa was one of them. I tell you, my grandpa was you think my hands look big. His exceeded a little bit longer. And let me tell you, you felt them. He didn't need nothing. He didn't need a switch. He didn't need no belt. Had the hand. And trust me, when the hand went up, you talked to the hand. Oh boy. In Ecclesiastes 9:10, all that your hands find to do, do it with all your might. For there is no work or planning or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol where you are going. So we got to get it and get it done. Why? I mean, time is steady moving. We're not in control of it. And eventually, it comes to all of us. But so that's why, yeah. But you ain't over till he said it's over. This word might is koach. I just put it right there so you want to go look at it. It's a different might to where compared to the one we talked about in Exodus in the beginning. It's a different Hebrew word here. So I didn't dive into it. In Isaiah 66:1, thus says Jehovah, the heavens are my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is this house that you build for me? And where is the place of my rest? And all these my hands have made. And all these that exist, declares Jehovah. Yet to such a one I look on him who is poor and bruised of spirit and who trembles at my word. You know, this week, it's bad. I'm able to get to work early and see a couple of sunrises. And it was so beautiful to see his creation, the handiwork of his hand. You know, if you miss a sunrise, plan one day to get up early. And yeah, look, it really is beautiful. It's a nice, beautiful morning. When the light comes across the sky, and it takes a designer, a planner. Someone, he knew what he was doing. And he knew what he was doing when he put your skeleton together. And he put my skeleton together. Verse 13, I just read that one. So that's the hand. What about the femur or the thigh bone? It is the largest, heaviest, and strongest bone in the human body. Located in the thigh, it bridges the hip and the knee, playing an essential role in weight bearing, posture, and mobility. Let me tell you, this is a very strong bone that you have. We have in our DNA, in our body. That, yeah, he knew what he was doing. Anatomy features a ball-shaped head, and it fits into the pelvic socket. This acetabulum, to form the hip joint. It has two bony projections called trochanters, greater and lesser, that anchor major muscles. The shaft, the long, straight middle section, serves as the heavy-duty attachment point for the quadriceps, hamstring, and gluteal muscles. I didn't look at that. What is that? Distal end flares out into two rounded condyles, metal and literal, that connect the tibia and the kneecap, patella, to form the hinge joint of the knee. You really feel like you're in doctor's class. I know y'all laughing back there, but I can't help it. I don't know, but I didn't go that high in school. I'm trying here. Common condition and injuries. You mean all this strong muscle and bone we got? Yes. Because of the femur's intense strength, it generally takes severe trauma, such as a vehicle collision or a hard fall, to cause injury. Femoral shaft fractures. Breaks in the long, narrow part, middle part of the bone. These result in severe, immediate pain and typically require surgical intervention, such as intramedullary nailing. Means inserting a metal rod down the center of the bone. Ouch! I never want to experience that. And I don't want that for none of you. So we got to stay in shape. Proximal femur fracture. Now I think this is what Yaakov suffered from. When you look into the definition. Commonly known as hip fractures. These occur at the top of the bone near the hip joint. They are especially common in older adults and often require surgery, like a partial hip replacement. Because where do you get hit? In the socket of the thigh. So I thought that was, when you go back and read that. Stress fractures or hairline crack caused by repetitive high impact activities, frequent among long distance runners or military recruits. Oh man, maybe I could turn it. A little better. And there's all your little deal I was reading about, the neck, the shaft, the head, all these little, it's amazing what you can find on it on when you Google, when you really want to know, and how our master wants us to know. This is how you're made. We're made in his bone structure, in his likeness, in his image. And there's my skeleton man, of course. So just to show you how this strength is in this area, but look, it's getting more gooder. You'll just hold tight. In Genesis 32:25, and when he saw that he did not overcome him, he touched the socket of his hip, And the socket of Yaakov's hip was dislocated, and he wrestled with him. Remember, we went through that. That is why the children of Israel to this day do not eat the sinew of the hip, which is on the socket of the thigh, because he touched the socket of the thigh of Yaakov in the sinew of the hip. I'm going to tell you, you know when Yehovah put the thing, he probably just put a little pluck of a finger. And he didn't really have to, because if he hit him too hard, his hip would probably walk it off. I'm just saying, but yeah, probably just a little touch, right, a little tap, just to show you. In the Brit Hadashah, the word thigh is mentioned only once, carrying symbolic weight, representing supreme authority, power, and divine status. We're talking about the thigh, and only mentioned one time in the Brit Hadashah? Well, let's look at it. Key symbolic meaning of the thigh in this context: ultimate authority. In the ancient world, having a name inscribed on the thigh where a warrior would traditionally strap a sword symbolized supreme strength, military power, and earthly divine reign. Right away, you ought to know exactly who we're talking about. If you don't know, just hold tight. Divine sovereignty. The inscription explicitly identifies Yeshua as supreme ruler above all earthly governments. Possession and identity, like the name placed on the robe, representing majesty. The name on the thigh signifies complete ownership and undeniable identity. There will be no mistaking when he returns. I love this part right here. And out of his mouth, in Revelation 19:15, goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall shepherd them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of El Shaddai. And on his robe, that's what we were just talking about. And on his thigh, he has a name written, Sovereign of Sovereign and Master of Masters. We talk about Master of the Universe. Now we think He-Man in the cartoon, but I'm telling you, this is truly your Master of the Universe right here. So I thought this thigh was very good. I like that. This thigh is Meros. It's G3382. And it just simply is the thigh. Other places in Scripture, in Daniel 2:31, and you, O sovereign, were looking on and saw a great image. The great image and its brightness excellent was standing before you, and its form was awesome. This image head was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze. Why? Because the thigh, let me tell you, it supports all the weight, everything that's from the waist up. So y'all knew what he was doing. Some people's thighs are probably thicker than others, but it's okay. Y'all give you that for a reason. He wants you to be strong because, you know, you spend a lot of time on your feet. So that's to support you by the end of the day. And by the end of the day, your feet are screaming, get off me. I want to look at something here about names. Now that you had your anatomy class, let's go to Leviticus 24:10. And the son of a Israeli woman, whose father was a Mishraim man, went out among the children of Israel. And the Israeli woman's son and a man of Israel strove in the camp. So here we got a Israeli woman and a Mishraim man, and she has a son, and he's fighting. In verse 11, and the woman's son blasphemed the name. What are we talking about in Shemot? We're talking about name. And what he does, he blasphemed the name and cursed. He thought blaspheme, that would be it. No, he ain't cursed. Difference. So they brought him to Moshe. Now his mother's name was Shelomith, the daughter of Debri, of the tribe of Dan. Go figure. We learned something about Dan just a few Shabbats ago. How their name is not even shown in Revelation. And they put him under guard that it might be declared to them at the mouth of Yehovah. And Yehovah spoke to Moshe, saying, bring the one who has cursed outside the camp. And all those who heard him shall lay their hands on his head, and all the congregation shall stone him. And speak to the children of Israel, saying, anyone who curses his Elohim shall bear his sin. Why? Because you bear your own sin. That's why they put the hand on the head. What he done wasn't a good thing. And he who blasphemes the name of Yehovah shall certainly be put to death, and all the congregation shall stone him, the stranger as well as the native. When he blasphemes the name, he is put to death. Oh boy. It's blaspheme. Let me tell you, this is some serious stuff. He thought cursing was bad. Blaspheme takes it to a whole other level. We're going to read about it in just a moment. The word is H5344. We'll be talking about names, and we don't want to blaspheme his name in no kind of way. We've always taught over there that you curse if you say God and you attach something else to his name that was blasphemy. That's a form of it. But it's way deeper, way more deeper than that. Nakab. A primitive root to puncture. Literally to profanate with more or less violence, or figuratively to specifically designate liberal, appoint, blaspheme, bore, curse, express with holes, name, pierce, strike. Let me tell you, it's bad when you look at all the definitions. It's to pierce the hole, to make it whole by piercing. Also to curse in a sense of piercing through. To curse, express, blaspheme, bore, name, pierce, appointment, hole, and it goes on. It's first mentioned right here. In Genesis 30:28, and he said, name me your wages, and I give it. Or in the King James, put the word appoint right here. He said, how is that blaspheming? He could be talking about, remember, we're talking about Yaakov. He's having this talk with his father-in-law, name me your wages. Remember, he's trying to trick him. In biblical rabbinic Hebrew, blasphemy is not limited to verbal profanity. It is defined as an active showing contempt toward Yah, or Nats, God Nats, rebelling against authority, or desecrating the divine name, Chul Hashem. This is what they have. The language highlights not just the word spoken, but the disposition and consequence of the act. So just because you don't say it, but it's the way sometimes how you act, you blaspheme his name. That ought to bring chills to you when you think about this. The Hebrew Bible trans blasphemy using three core verbs, each emphasize a different dimension of the offense. So let's see how serious blasphemy is. Because why? One thing we never want to do is blaspheme his name. He says, the fearful thing to fall to the hand of a living hell. I don't want to be on Yah's bad side. I can tell you that. This Nahats is a translation. Transliteration. Core meaning to spurn, abhor, or treat with active contempt. Scriptural context and implication highlights a rebellious posture or defiance against Yah's covenant. You mean that's blasphemy when you speak against his covenant? It sure is. Let's look at Ezekiel 20:27. Therefore, son of man, speak to the house of Israel, and you shall say to them, thus says the Master Yehovah, is this your fathers? In this your fathers have further reviled me, is to use the word revile, by committing trespass against me. This is blasphemy, this word revile. King James, I put it in just the two versions, because you want a second witness, so it's just to show. Therefore, son of man, speak unto the house of Israel, and say to them, thus said the Lord God, yet is this your fathers have blasphemed me? Yet in this your fathers have blasphemed me, in that they have committed a trespass against me. It goes to show, we commit a trespass, we blaspheme him. Not about always what we say. Another one, the core meaning, the word is haraf, is to reproach, scorn, or say sharp things. Scriptural context and implication refer to verbally taunting or challenging Yah's power and reputation. Oh boy. His reputation? Yeah, he has a reputation. It's way above ours, I can tell you that. In 2 Kings 19:22, whom have you reproached and reviled? Against whom have you raised a voice and lifted up your eyes on high? Really? Against the set apart one of Yisrael? You right there, you don't win. When you do these things, you don't win. You blaspheming. And the King James said, who has reproached and blasphemed? And against whom hast thou exalted thy voice and lifted up thy eyes on high, even against the Holy One of Israel? Remember, we're talking about names here. What name, who we represent, our frame as business act, representing his name, and we blaspheming? We better check ourselves. Gediff, transliterated, this is the third one. To revile, blaspheme, or cut off. Scriptural context and implication expresses an insulting, intentional denial of the Almighty's authority. What? We want to deny his authority? We do that, we blaspheming. This is what he talks about. But David said to the Philistine in 1 Samuel 17:45, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of Jehovah of hosts, the Elohim of the armies of Israel, whom you have reproached. Remember Goliath? Challenge Yah's authority. Blaspheme Yah. And what happened? Didn't last long. He used his own sword, cut off his own head. David. Let me tell you something about David. I was just meditating on him a little. When he was a young man, before he became king, he talked about a young man who had strong bone, and he was fearless. And he had his mighty men with him, that was with him. Let me tell you something, David never lost a battle. Let me tell you, he got himself in a bind. We know about that story. But in his younger years, in the prime of his life, he had strong bone. Let me tell you, he wasn't afraid. What he said? He said, a bear came out against your servant. And a lion came out. He said, I grabbed him by the beard. I would have been afraid. He grabbed nothing by no beard. Well, he said, that spear with him would come upon David. Let me tell you something. He said, I smote him. And this uncircumcised Philistine, he said, I'm going to smoke him too. I'm going to smote him too. We'll smoke him. Yeah, smoke him too. I'm talking about, he wasn't afraid of him. When all the whole army of Israel was standing back watching, King Saul watching, where was David? David, I'm going to fight him. Your servant will go out there. He's just a young boy. Then David said, the King James Version said, and David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. Let me tell you something. David wasn't afraid of him. In today's world, we shouldn't be afraid of him either. His spirit is with us. He's in us. He gives us the strong bone to overcome. In Matthew 12, in the Brit Hadishah, then they brought to him one who was dumb, possessed, blind, and dumb. Let me read that again. In Matthew 12, 22, and they brought to him one who was demon-possessed, blind and dumb. And he healed him so that the blind and the dumb man both saw, both spake and saw. And all the crowd were amazed and said, is this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this one does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. Blasphemy. Because they're speaking arrogant words, these sharp words. And Yeshua knew their thoughts and said to them, every reign divided against itself is laid waste, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. He said, and if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then does his reign stand? And if I, by Beelzebub, do cast out demons, by whom do your sons cast them out? Because of this, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of Elohim, then the reign of Elohim has come upon you. Or how is one able to enter a strong man's house and plunder his good unless he first binds the strong man. And then he shall plunder his house. He who is not with me is against me. This is our master's word now. And he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Because of this I say to you, all sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven men. But the blasphemy against the Spirit shall not be forgiven men. You've crossed the line when you blaspheme against His Spirit, the Spirit of truth, who only comes in to teach you and to show you and set you down, because sometimes we get out beside ourselves. This Spirit comes upon you. You don't blaspheme against His Spirit. If you did, you crossed the line. And whoever speaks a word against the Son of Adam, it shall be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the set apart Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. You're done for. That's what he's saying. Almost done. Let me look at some blasphemy here in the Brit Hardy shop. In G988, blasphemia. Vilification especially against God, blasphemy, evil speaking, railing, slander, detraction, speech injurious to another good name, impious and respectful speech, and reproachful speech, injurious to divine majesty. In Matthew 26:64, Yeshua said to him, "You have said it. Besides, I say to you, from now on, you shall see the Son of Adam sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of the heaven." Then the high priest tore his garment, saying, "He has blasphemed." Really? Our master? This is one of the definitions when you turn what he spoke good and you turn what I said wrong and saying he said something different. That's blasphemy. Basically, one of your Ten Commandments, when he says, don't take his name in vain, because that leads down to blasphemy. Why do we need any more witnesses? Nasi, now you have heard his blasphemy. Wow. Speaking against the Son of the Most High. Said he's a blasphemer. In Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and displeasure and uproar and slander be put away from you, along with all evil. Slander is another word for blaspheme. Blasphemeo, G987. You say, I didn't know that was so much, and neither did I. But it's in there. That's what happens when you get on that trail, it leads you down there. And let me tell you, I stopped, because there was more. But that goes to show how serious blasphemy is. It comes in all different forms and colors. That's why I like to color code my page. I'm starting to like this stuff now. It's got 35 verses on that. It's to speak reproachfully. Rail at, revile, calumniate, blaspheme. I thought I had something here. I didn't want to make sure I didn't pass over because there was something I was looking at. Maybe I didn't put it in there. I might be a little down. To be evil spoken of, revile, rail that. Some of these things we've done in our past. We have to go back and repent of these things that we've done. Because ain't nobody in here blaspheme. No, okay. I'm so glad we don't practice that sin anymore. We're much better now. In Matthew 15:29, those passing by were blaspheming him, shaking their heads and saying, "Ah, you who destroyed the dwelling place and built in 3 days." They laughing at the master. Blasphemy. He was right here in Psalms 22:7. All those who see me mock me. They shoot out the lip. They shake their head, saying, "He trusted in Jehovah. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, seeing he had delighted in him." Oh boy. That's some, our master. They did this to our master. Called it blasphemy. I tell you, they crossed the line. G989, blasphemous.
Oh, there's a couple modern duties. I can't even pronounce the word.
If you look up G989, you're going to see it's against man, specifically impious against God, blasphemer,
you name it.
Speaking evil, slanderous, reproach, railing, abusive. This is where I want to go. Impious.
I said,
what is this word? I-M-P-I-O-U-S. Impious, is lacking reverence, respect, or devotion to Yah. We don't want to show him no disrespect. He called for this time. That's why I show up. It describes an attitude or lifestyle of godlessness where an individual ignores divine authority, rejects sacred things, or acts deliberately of Yah's moral standards. And you want strong bones? You want him to help you in the end? But we act in this way? We're much better than that. This is so important. All this from this one verse in verse 9. Sometimes you just go back and slow down and read why is all this information in here? It's for our learning. And then in Acts 6:11, they instigated men to say, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moshe and Elohim. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes so that they came upon him and seized him and brought him to the council. And they set up false witnesses who said, this man does not cease to speak blasphemous words against this set apart place and the Torah. You mean you speak against, when you speak blasphemous against the Torah, you speak against Yah? You shake your head. Yes. For we have heard him saying that this Yeshua of Nazareth shall overthrow this place and change the institutes which Moshe delivered unto us. This was about Stephen, by the way. And there it is again. Let all bitterness and wrath and displeasure and uproar and slander be put away from you among all with all evil. You know how bad I want to go on and add, because this takes you down a journey. But in Shemot and Names, this blaspheme really came out as I was going to work the other day and I was just listening to a video. And man, when that came in there, I said, oh, I got to put that in there because that go with the name because we don't want to blaspheme his name. We built our frame. He built us to have strong bone to last however long that seemed like. And whatever we go through in life, we need him. At the end of the day, when we realize that, we need him. Because if not, all these things, these deficiencies, without him, is there for us. So I hope you all enjoyed that. That was more to put in there, and I hope you enjoyed that. Look, forgive me about the word, because I'm no doctor, but I'm trying to be, in a way. But I hope you all enjoyed that little presentation. Look, that's so much in there, but if we just want to take our time and spend time with him, he can teach us a lot. So Father God,